Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We got the best listeners in town.
Talking to Craig, man. Craig lives up here in Roswell. We were just reminiscing about some of our favorite Falcon moments, hoping to relive some of that. Hopefully we get back to it. Hey, man, what's going to happen Saturday in Athens? That's the big question. Alabama comes in. Alabama! And Mike Griffith is here from Dog Nation. Mike, what's your biggest concern about this game, man? Going into this game for Georgia, what's your biggest concern?
Well, from Georgia's perspective, I mean, obviously it's Ty Simpson's ability to have time to get the ball downfield to two really talented receivers. I mean, you know, we saw that, you know, Tennessee had some success going deep and the Georgia pass rush, you know, didn't land. And part of the reason they didn't land is because they had trouble stopping Tennessee on first and second downs and getting them in, you know, down and distance situations for third down. So I guess number one, I would say Georgia's ability to get a pass rush to prevent the types of explosive plays that got them beat last year at Alabama and could have got them beat at Tennessee. So that would be one. And then offensively, you know, Georgia's got to be able to establish a ground game. I mean, they're not going to win games with Gunnar Stockton, you know, throwing the ball 35 times. You know, they want a more balanced offense. They need the run game to be there to set up the play action. That's going to be their explosive play. You know, we know that their game so far has been very controlled. If you look at Gunner's yardage, passing yards, I think about two-thirds of its yards after the catch. So it's been a very short, efficient passing game for the most part. And so they're going to need the run game to set up the downfield throws, the explosive plays off of play action. So two things, Georgia's ability to rush the passer and Georgia's ability to run the ball effectively on first and second down.
Mike, we're going to talk to David Pollack earlier in the show. We're going to replay it tomorrow. We're going to be at Grindhouse on Lumpkin, guys, for Dog fans and Bama fans. Join the party in Athens. The question is, where's the pass rush? And I think, Mike, you can say for both teams, to your point earlier, both teams are not really getting after the quarterback, which could be maybe the over, a lot of passing.
Well, it just depends. I mean, you know, game circumstances change. I think most of us thought that Georgia-Tennessee would be a lower scoring game based on their previous meetings. And, you know, who knew that Georgia could score that much or who knew that Tennessee could score? I mean, you know, before that game, the previous three Tennessee quarterbacks didn't throw for 200 yards or a touchdown. Joey had 200 yards and two touchdowns in the first quarter.
Right.
You know, we have to be careful about, you know, assuming too much. I mean, you know, right when you think you know all the answers, you don't. I mean, who knows? Maybe this turns into a 16-13 slug. So I don't think so. But stranger things have happened in the SEC.
So Kalen DeBoer, his senior tailback, Jam Miller, is he back Saturday? And what does that mean for them? And aren't they also getting their defensive tackle back? Are they going to be ready?
Well, I don't know the extent of Jam Miller's collarbone injury that took him out in the preseason. I think they said bruise, but you know, anybody's played football, played running back, you got a bad collarbone. That's not a good injury to have. I mean, you're taking on a lot of guys, and it's a lot of contact at that position. So obviously, if he wasn't cleared, he wouldn't play. And if they didn't think he'd be effective, they're not going to hand it to him. So obviously, he's shown them something, we think, because he's not on the injury report.
Right.
I don't think it changes anything for Georgia as far as how they're going to look to defend Alabama. On the flip side, with the defensive tackle, you know, they've got him as probable. But, you know, guys, we saw Brock Bowers and Tate Ratledge go through this here at Georgia, this tightrope surgery. And, you know, that 5 to 6 week window, you know, the soonest guys can get back, And when guys come back, they're not necessarily 100%. You're talking about a 330-pound guy coming back, you know, from tightrope. Now, who knows? Maybe his recovery was miraculous and he'll be 100%. But the fact that he showed up on the injury report tells me that he'll probably be somewhat limited. I don't know how much pain he can play through. I'm not sure, you know, exactly how effective he can be. But typically, that's a little early to come back from a tightrope and be at 100%, I would say. So I don't know that that's as much of a factor as maybe, you know, a month down the line for this guy.
Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. Guys, we're live at Loyal Tavern here in Roswell on Canton Street. What a great crowd, Carl.
Yeah.
A lot of dog fans in the vibe here. Mike, are they going to rush? Are they going to blitz? I know, as Carl pointed out earlier, they really don't want to, you know, have to blitz. They want to get it from the down lineman. But only two sacks. I think it was Cole had the most. So where do they get the heat?
Well, those guys are playing for the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles these days. I don't think there's five future first-round guys on this defensive line. Or
Mike Griffith, you know, there is no pass rush, Carl.
I didn't say that. I just said, you know, the days of, you know, being spoiled and saying you can get a rush with four guys and play pass coverage on the back end, I mean, that's just that's not happening. It's really not happening for anybody. I mean, Oklahoma had 10 sacks. You know, let's see what they do against somebody else, but you're not seeing any, you know, the talent is more spread out now. We've talked this NIL parity thing to death, but when we come up with questions like this, you know, that's the answer, right? I mean, the talent's more widely dispersed. Guys that, you know, could be number two and rotating in at Georgia or number one somewhere else. I mean, Jamal Jarrett's playing for, what, USC now? I mean, that's a pretty good defensive lineman, I'd say. And, you know, Damon Wilson's doing a pretty nice job rushing the passer for Missouri right now. So, you know, those are two guys that, you know, would have been in the program pre-NIL, you know, theoretically. So, look, it comes down to making the most of what you got, and it's going to be up to Kirby Smart to figure it out. I mean, look, you got what you got, and if you got to bring an extra guy to put the quarterback down, that's what you got to do. Otherwise, you're going to die slow death, and that's pretty much what happened against Tennessee. That quarterback lit him up. I mean, 371 yards and four touchdowns, that's not going to feed the Bulldog this season.
What's this game mean for Kirby? You know, Mike, we were discussing this, his 1-6 record, you know, when you talk about Alabama, obviously that was more Nick Saban than obviously Kalen DeBoer, but it is what it is. You had the game last year, right, at Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Well, what's a game mean for him when you talk about the program obviously wants to win and you want to win just because you've got this incredible home win streak going. But for Kirby, doesn't it mean a little something else too?
Yeah, probably about as much as the win over Georgia would have meant for Josh Heupel, who's 0-5 against Georgia now, but hasn't lost to another team in 26 home games other than Georgia three times. I mean, sometimes coaches have your number. You can't explain it. I mean, you know, Heupel's won 2 out of 3 against Alabama, but, you know, it just like you look at Kirby and 1-6, and you look at the circumstances and national championship game, you know, a safety blows an assignment, and, you know, Jake Fromm would have been a true freshman that led his team to a national. He did everything he was supposed to do, you know, but instead he's Jake Fromm SEC champion. Now Jake Fromm freshman led his team to a national championship, and you think about the plays and how close the games were, and, you know, for whatever reason, the ball just didn't bounce Georgia's way sometimes, you know, key injuries at times. You know, I think in the long run, those things even themselves out. But to your point, it means a lot to Kirby's legacy. I mean, the guy's got 19 losses in his career in 10 years, and 6 of them are to Alabama. You know, it also means something for Sanford Stadium. They've won 33 in a row there. You know, Kirby's 17-0 in night games at Sanford Stadium. You know, so there's a legacy value for Kirby Smart. I mean, there's a lot on the line for both. I mean, if Kalen DeBoer loses his game, is he coach next year? Because if Bama's got 2 losses this early in the year,
right,
one more loss probably knocks him out. And if DeBoer misses the playoffs 2 years in a row, you know, is he coming back to third year? I don't think so. I think there'd be a mutual parting of the ways. You know, we'll let you out of your buyout. You know, you don't charge us the buyout and go, you know, back to the West Coast and a place where your family can sleep at night, you know, without people being pissed off you're not winning enough games. But small town like Tuscaloosa, so there's a lot at stake for both of these programs, both these coaches.
Right. Where else in the SEC could you get Auburn losing to Oklahoma? Now you're going to play Texas A&M. You know, we always thought, but it matters. It just means more in the SEC.
Yeah.
Mike Griffith from the AJC from Dog Nation joins us. LSU plays Ole Miss. Is there a team in the SEC you feel like, wow, they really are better than Georgia right now, or is Georgia still the bell cow?
You know, I think it's all marginal. I mean, guys, I played this game a little bit earlier, and, you know, I don't know, make-believe games are kind of hard to do over the phone, but if we closed our eyes and just pretended that football through 2023 didn't exist in college football, and we were just evaluating college football from 2024 on, we wouldn't have these expectations. I mean, look at Georgia. I mean, three of their last six wins, guys, have been in walk-off fashion.
It's true.
Like, they won on the last play of the game, running the ball in the end zone. Three of the last six. Kirby Smart's built a championship program. There's no doubt. And Georgia's considered, you know, he's considered the best coach. But this looks a lot more like the NFL than college football as we knew it before 2024. The parity's unbelievable. I think Brent Venables said it last week on the SEC coaches call. This is a one-possession league. And there's a blowout here and there, but for the most part, you just said it. Auburn and Oklahoma were separated by mere points. Now Auburn and Texas A&M, I think, what's the spread? Like 6 or 7 tops? LSU Ole Miss is like 1.5. Like, I don't – play those games 10 times and one team wins 5, one team wins 5. Maybe A&M's got a little more of an edge, you know. I think they're maybe a little better than people think. You know, they beat Notre Dame on the road. Hey, Notre Dame's coming down to Arkansas. Let's tune in there. I mean, Notre Dame could have 3 losses. I mean, they got 2 losses. They're still in the top 25. Yeah, well, you know, Notre Dame's still for you there. But, you know, Sam Pittman, could he be coaching for his job? I mean, this is the kind of marquee win he needs to get. And meanwhile, somewhere, Texas is kicking back, having a cold one, because they've got a nice schedule that gives them, you know, some puffy team. They go to Florida. But, you know, if you want to look at the team in the catbird seat, it's Texas. Because their schedule is friendly. And they only play 2 teams that had a winning record in the SEC last year, and that's Texas A&M and Georgia. And they have a bye week before they play Georgia. Georgia, meanwhile, has got planes, trains, and automobiles to Starkville. Not a fun road trip. So, you know, Texas has got the schedule. Texas has got a great defense. We need to see if Arch Manning comes to fruition. We know he struggled early, pretty well documented. But to me, that may not be the best team. But because of their schedule, that might be the best bet to win the SEC. Mm.
Well, 4 is going to upset them anyway.
Don't say that.
You know what? Look, Ole Miss went into Florida last year thinking they were going to – remember, for all the Florida fans, Florida wanted Lane Kiffin to be the head coach. They were all, we got to have – and then Billy Napier beats Lane Kiffin. We're going, okay, up is down, down is up. What just happened?
Hey, Mike, I agree with you. We got to run, but I totally agree with you where we are in college football. I just don't think fans maybe understand that parity thing and how real it is. And here's the deal about Georgia, too. Because they won back-to-back natties, you still got a lot of dog fans living off of that dominance. And you're right. If you just erased that and said, I'm looking at these teams right now, I've been saying this. I don't know who the dominant team in college football is right now. I think there's a lot of really good teams. I don't know if there's one just dominant team like Georgia was in 21-22. All right, man, we got to run. Great stuff, Mike Griffin.
Yeah, man.
We appreciate it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You, man, as always.
All right. Changes week to week. Let's see what happens Saturday night in Athens. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Mike, Grindhouse tomorrow. Carl, yeah. Buying shots.
I'll be there. You hope you show up, Mike. All right, man. Mike Griffith, right. Dog Nation.
Hey, guys.
Hanging out with us. We are at Loyal Tavern in Roswell. We got to come back.
Look at this crowd, Carl. Look at this crowd.
Everybody having a good time? Everybody's having a good time. All
right. Carl, it's like, can they rename Roswell as Cougar City?
I'm sorry?
What?
We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.